United Chess Podcast. I'm your host, Shivi Srivastava, the Assistant Manager of Communications of Queens United Chess. Today's guest is highly accomplished Women's International Master, Mariam Daniela. She repeatedly represented Georgia at the European Youth Chess Championships and World Youth Chess Championships and won a gold medal at each of these competitions. And in 2008, she was awarded the Women International Master title. So without further ado, we'd like to introduce Mariam Daniela. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time for being here.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
So I really just want to start off getting to know how it all began. So how old were you when you were first introduced to the game of chess, and when did you start playing competitively?
Great question. So I saw chess for the first time when I was 3 years old. We didn't even have a chess set at home, and I accidentally saw it at family friends' place, and I really liked the game. And I started begging my parents to get a chess set for me, which they eventually did. My parents don't play chess. They do know how to make moves. So my mom taught me, how to move pieces. And then when I was 5 years old, I started taking private lessons, and I've been playing since.
And that's great. So you just you found a chess set and you just became really interested by it.
Yeah, I was fascinated how, all those pieces moved around the board, and oh, they were all different. And to like 3 year old Mariam, that was very, very impressive. I didn't know much about chess, but I wanted to know more, which my parents really helped me to, learn the basics of chess, and they were really great at helping me take private lessons, which really helped me to compete at national and international level. Mm-hmm. The first major tournament for my age was the Georgian Championship, which I won at the age of 9. And then the prize for the winner was the trip to the World Youth Chess Championship. So I was 9 years old when I first played my World Youth Chess Championship. And when you see the first trophy and first win, then you are kind of addicted to the game. So yeah. I kept playing, and I as you know, chess requires a lot of work, so I would put in several hours a day to make sure that I was ready for all the tournaments that were on my calendar back then. And it was challenging to combine chess with school, but I somehow managed to do that, and my teachers were very helpful in the sense that they let me skip school when I had tournaments.
It's like every dream.
That's how I began playing.
Mm-hmm. So when you were younger and you were playing at these huge competitions, what was going through your head, like when you were playing at these huge games?
I've been playing chess as long as I remember, so I don't know how my life was without it. And as you mentioned, it is stressful for a child to, compete at national and international level. But also for chess, it is really important to, manage yourself and not let your feelings get to you, because you need to concentrate on the game and find the right moves to be able to win the games. So yeah, it is a great challenge, especially when you're a kid, but as you play a lot of tournaments, that gives you experience and confidence, and you eventually get used to it. You know that you'll be nervous, but you still need to concentrate and, you know, calculate your lines and make sure that all your attention is focused on the board and everything else. You can figure out when game is over. So yeah, I would just, I know that the one of the biggest challenges to, you know, stay focused, but I would encourage everyone to keep playing and play as much as they can, because practice makes it perfect.
Right, yeah. So your career was very successful at a young age, and I know you mentioned about balancing school and chess. So did you find yourself prioritizing one over the other when you were playing while still in school?
Yes. So at the beginning, it was mostly school. I was prioritizing school, but then when I noticed that I was really good at, what you know, that chess for my age, and I was able to win some of the tournaments and play, like, represent Georgia at, you know, European and World Youth Chess Championships, then I started dedicating more time to chess. So I would say there were years in my life that I was prioritizing chess, because it requires a lot of work. Some people not too familiar with chess think that, you know, you just go to the tournament, play your game, leave, and that's it. But chess is a very complex game, and it requires a lot of work. You need to make sure that you're in good shape when you start a tournament. I'm generally speaking, you may be stronger than your competitors, but if you are not in a good shape, and that will not really help you. So you need to really practice chess every day and consistently to make sure that you are ready for the tournaments at all times. So yes, to answer your question, there were years when I dedicated more time to chess than to my academics, but it was still like early school years. Then I was able to catch up, take like exams after my tournaments, and still work on my grades. So I would say it's possible. It requires a lot of work. It means that you probably won't have as much time to go out, have fun with your friends,
Yeah.
but I'll definitely say that it pays off, because since I started playing chess, I traveled a lot to play tournaments in Europe, in Asia, and then I eventually moved to the United States, and that helped me to get to know a lot of great people that are still my friends today. So it's definitely worth the work.
Yeah, I can just imagine like traveling and then trying to balance school and chess. That must have been really busy. So, do you have any advice for high school students, especially who need to balance chess and other activities as a youth and also maybe right now?
Yes, so, you know, not, there are different types of chess players, right? Some people want to compete on a professional level. Some people just enjoy playing chess and want to play chess as a hobby, so they don't have to really spend like 5-7 hours a day on chess. They can just, you know, prep for the tournaments like a few weeks or a few days in advance, go play and enjoy themselves. But if you do want to play chess on a professional level, then you really need a plan to combine that with your school, especially when you're, you know, about to graduate and you need to take your, you know, SAT and all that good stuff. It can be really challenging. But if you do have a plan, if you stay organized, if you know where your time is going to, then if you have an agenda for a day, let's say I'll dedicate this many hours to chess, this many hours to school, this many hours to, you know, exam prep. The more you have to do, the more time you have. That's what I've learned. So based on my experience, it's just the main advice I would have is to have a plan, have an agenda for each day, and Just be ready to sacrifice some like time that you would dedicate to, you know, your friends and going out playing, and refocus that time to, you know, they use it for chess. And it's gonna work out. A lot of people do it, especially now in the US. There are a lot of collegiate teams that, you know, a lot of universities that have chess teams, and they are able to combine college with chess. So they do have weekly meetings, weekly tournaments even, and they are able to combine that with their academics. So it's definitely possible. We just need to stay organized.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Just organize, like keeping organized and staying on a schedule, that really helps when you're juggling like 10 things at once. So,
Right. Agree.
yeah, so over your entire chess career, what are some of the challenges that you face, just major challenges, and how have they shaped your career for the future?
Major challenges.
Yeah.
You know, when you play chess, and I think that this is true for all kinds of sports, that you can get involved. There are times when you lose, and that was really hard. So I've had throughout my career, I had a lot of tournaments that when, you know, like for example, I won 5 games out of 5, and then I lost game number 6, and it kind of went downhill from there because I was not able to recover from that loss, especially if you have like an advantage or winning position, and you're so close to winning, and suddenly like one bad move and everything, you know, everything just gets ruined. That's really hard. But as I said, if you play a lot of tournaments, that really teaches you how to lose and how to recover after losing a game. So that's, I guess, one of the main areas that everyone needs to improve on if they really want to play chess professionally. Learn how to lose a game and how to come back from it. Because, you know, you may lose one game during a tournament and play like exceptional games from that on and still win a tournament. But psychologically, it's not always easy to win a game after losing a winning position. So I guess the most challenges that I had in my career are associated with those like critical games that I could have won, and, you know, like one bad move and I was not able to win. But that also, you know, teaches you a lot, and you can apply that to your real life as well. How to deal with challenges, with setbacks. So that's why chess is really wonderful from a very young age. It teaches you how to deal with those challenges.
Yeah. Do you have any specific tournaments in mind where losing one, like a game after a streak of winning everything else? Do you have any specific tournament in mind where that was really, that made an impact on you, or that's really memorable?
Well, yes, actually, it was, I was about 10 years old. I was playing European Youth Chess Championship, and I had 5 out of 5, I believe. Then I drew one game, and I was playing my 7th game in that tournament. I was like 3 pawns up, completely winning position, and I just blundered the checkmate, and it just ended there, and I never recovered from it. You know, if I was able to play the consecutive game, like round there, we had 9 rounds in total, so if I managed to win the last 2, I would still get a medal. But I really never recovered from losing that game because it was completely winning. It was almost over, and in time trouble I just blundered the checkmate. So That was really hard for a 10-year-old. So I still remember that.
Yeah. How was
But
Luke?
then on that note, like 6 years later, I was playing the same European Youth Chess Championship under 16. The same thing happened. I think I had like 5 out of 5 or 4 out of 4. Then I drew one game, lost the next one, but then I was able to recover and I won all the remaining games, and I won the gold medal. So you learn on your mistakes and you learn how to deal with losing a game. So yeah, it's just practice, right? When you're young and when you're 10, it's really hard to recover from losing completely winning position. So yeah.
Yeah. Like compared to when you were younger to now, how is recovering from a loss different? What have you learned over your many years of experience, from going back and revisiting the game and just learning from it? So how is that? How is that different? How have you changed?
Yeah, I guess you also get used to it because throughout your career, there are a lot of games that you lose. There are a lot of games that you win, but losing is just part of the game. So you just learn to learn from it, right? Because every game, no matter you win or lose, is an opportunity to learn. And as long as you analyze your game and you learn from your mistakes and don't repeat those mistakes over and over again, you are winning. So, yeah, at this stage, I am able to better manage my emotions. And if I were to lose the game, I would still come back the next day and do my best. So, nobody likes losing. It's hard at every age, at every level. But with experience, you just learn to deal with it, I guess.
Yeah. So winning the European Youth Chess Championship in the under 16 age group in 2010 was a huge significant achievement. So how did this victory influence your transition from a talented youth player to a women international master?
Yes, so I became an international master when I was 14, in 2 years, and then I was 16 when I won the European Youth Chess Championship, and that was really significant because the prize for the winner was a full ride chess scholarship at the University of Texas at Dallas. So that was the reason why I moved to the States. Never in a million years I would imagine that I would end up in Texas. But that happened after winning that tournament. I took my SAT and moved to the States. So that was like a huge turning point in my life. Like that completely changed my life because I never thought about, moving to the States. But then after that tournament, a couple years from winning that championship, I moved here. And I started playing for the university chess team. We had a lot of international masters, grandmasters, on the team, and I was able to learn from them. And it was really fun to, combine college life with chess. We were still able to travel for chess tournaments and compete. And combine that with our academics. So, looking back, I really appreciate those years, and I'm really grateful that I got a chance to, use chess. Because you see a lot of times that after people graduate from high school, they stop playing because, in college, you're really busy, you don't have much time, and UT Dallas really gave us the opportunity to keep playing chess. And a lot of my teammates became grandmasters while being at UTD, so that really gives you an opportunity to keep practicing chess while you are working on your major.
Yeah. So actually, I live right next to the University of Texas at Dallas. So I
Oh, you do?
do. And my sister actually went there. So that really hit home to me. So I was just wondering, what are some of the challenges and maybe differences you faced when you moved to the US to attend UTD?
Well, I loved UTD, so looking back, yeah, obviously there are some challenges, but overall great experience, great school, great chess program. We had amazing coach that really helped us combine, everything, like our academic life with chess. We would have weekly trainings, we would go play tournaments. The main difference, like in I am originally from Georgia, right? And Georgia is famous for having female strong female players. Our female players have always been stronger than our male players.
Yeah.
And since moving to the United States, it was a great transition because we didn't have a lot of female players, especially in Texas. We did have a women's chess team at UTD, but that was like an exception back then. Not a lot of universities had women's chess teams. So I'm grateful that I got a chance to have female players on the team. But yeah, it was really strange to me to see that there were not a lot of female players. Because that's not what I was used to. I would go play like open tournaments in Georgia, and half of them would be women. So to me, that felt strange, and that's why I now am trying to get involved in a lot of ways to help young player, like female players, keep playing chess. Even at not doesn't have to be at the professional level, because even if you have it as a hobby, it still teaches you a lot of different things that you can apply to your real life. So yeah, I really hope that more and more female players and decide to stick to chess.
Yeah, I know. Like, chess has really helped me in my life, just thinking logically and I guess keeping my focus, having to play games and just keeping my focus on the board for a long time. I think that that's a really important skill for all kids to learn.
Yeah,
So,
it teaches you a lot of different things, like enhances your memory, develops your critical thinking, improves your cognitive skills.
right.
How it teaches you how to come back after some setbacks. So it's a great game. Even if people don't think about playing chess on a professional level, I think it is still beneficial for them to get introduced to the game and the culture and the people that are connected to chess, because it's a great community.
Yeah. So while attending college, did any of your professional goals change? Did any of your dreams change or anything you want to add?
Yeah, well, college years are formative years, so a lot of things change while you're at school. Yeah, so before going to college, I really thought that my main focus would be chess, and I would play chess on a professional level. I was not planning on getting a full-time job because I thought I would dedicate myself to chess. That kind of changed
Yeah.
after I started college, and I do work full-time now. I do try to stay involved and chess in a lot of different ways. I don't get to play as much as I used to play as a young player or even at college, but I do teach, and I just joined the Chicago Chess Foundation board, so I do try to stay involved and help young players improve and get introduced to chess, because I really think it's a great game. But to answer your question, what changed? That changed. That was the biggest shift. I did, yeah. I was planning to dedicate my life to chess, which kind of did not happen. But chess is still like a huge part of my life, and it's completely like whatever I have in life is thanks to chess, because I would never move to the US. I would never, you know, go to college in the US. So that's all thanks to chess, and chess gave me the opportunity to be here. So it will always, always be like a huge part of my life.
Yeah. I mean, that's just great. Like, it, even though you're maybe not professional in chess, pursuing that as a full-time career, it's still impacting you right now, and you're still involved. So that's just amazing.
Yes, and I also met a lot of wonderful people while playing chess, because you, when you go travel for the tournament, you meet a lot of different people from all around the world, and you keep in touch, and some of them, you know, become your really, really close friends. So I'm really grateful that I had the opportunity to be a part of this community, because chess is like, it's a small world, everyone knows everyone. So if you are playing, if you go and, you know, participate in tournaments, you get to know a lot of great people that are also passionate about chess. So, and you already have something in common, so it's really easy to connect.
So, George, you've mentioned before Georgia has a very rich history of chess, having incredible female players. How has growing up in Georgia influenced your development in chess overall?
Yes, we had great, great players. Nona Gaprindashvili, Maya Tsvetanidze, they won world championships like 5 times each. So, you know, each of them. So they were world champions for, for a long, long time. And now we have a very strong team that they are competing at world and European chess championships and winning gold, silver, bronze medals almost every year. So yeah, I had a lot of great examples growing up. So it was really easy for me to imagine playing chess at a professional level, because I had this, you know, role models in my life, versus like here in the US, we unfortunately don't have as many female players. So it's hard for young players to think that, oh, you know, like you, I can do this. I can play chess on a professional level. And there are a lot of people doing this, and there are a lot of people who have done this before me. So, but I think it's really improving. We have a lot of people coming to the US, a lot of female players that are from, you know, from Europe, Asia, that are competing on international level. And they are really great examples for the young kids. Just to show them that it's possible. And once you have that idea that it's possible, then you, and you're passionate about the game, then you work hard to get there, you know. So
Yeah.
I really do hope, like, collegiate chess does a wonderful job of bringing young players to the United States, and they move to different states. Like Texas is the big one, right? UTD has a lot of female players, and they are all great examples to all the young kids. So I hope more and more girls get interested in chess and decide to, you know, compete professionally, you know.
So going down the road, where do you hope to see yourself in chess in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question. As I said, I don't get to play as much these days because of my full-time job, but I do hope that I stay involved and I keep teaching, because that's the way to introduce this game to a lot of young players, and I really enjoy the process of when, you know, young kids get introduced to chess and they find it fascinating, just like I did when I was 3 or 5 years old. So I just do hope that I remain to be a part of this great community that connects a lot of people around the world. And I'm really glad that chess, especially online chess, became very popular things since, you know, COVID and Queen's Gambit. So I'm really, really glad that more and more people are interested in the game, and I hope we'll be here to, you know, at least guide some of them to, you know, their future chess careers. So
yeah. And finally, to wrap up the episode, I wanted to ask you, what is your biggest advice for someone going through a slump and looking to get back into the game?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, I throughout my career also had a lot of painful games that, you know, some of them made me think that chess was not for me, and I had to work on something else, which was not necessarily true. One or two games don't decide what you're gonna do in the future. So everyone who took a pause or decided that chess was not really for them, I would encourage them to give it a second chance, because they are, you know, I know a lot of people that took a break, for example, after graduating college, went after graduating high school, went to college, didn't play chess, and then came back and played wonderful tournaments and competed on international level and won a lot of, you know, open tournaments. Yeah, quitting is always an option. You can quit anytime. But I would really encourage them to just give chess a second chance and try again. Maybe it's something that, you know, makes them happy. And the only way that you can dedicate that much time to chess is if you really enjoy playing. If you don't enjoy playing, then it's really a waste of everyone's time. But if you do enjoy the game, and there was something that the game that you lost that made you quit, or the lack of time, maybe like circumstances changed and this time around you'll be able to, you know, better manage your time, dedicate more time to chess, practice more, play more, get more experience. And as you age, you gain more confidence, and it's easier to play. When you're young, you lose a game and you're like, okay, I'm done. But that changes as you grow older and you realize that you can learn from your mistakes, and losing a game is not a tragedy, right? You will have a lot of games in your life that you'll be able to win. So yeah, I would encourage them to go back to chess, give it a second chance, because
okay.
It's really a great game. And even if they don't decide to play professionally, even if they have it as a hobby, it really brings a lot to people in terms of like life skills, and also connect them to a lot of wonderful people that are part of the chess community. So definitely worth trying.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. It was really nice talking to you. And to all our viewers out there, I hope today you are able to learn more about Mariam Daniela and her incredible story. We're so glad we got to chat with you, Mariam. Special thanks to our Queen's United Ambassador, Suhana and Nina, for helping plan this episode. That concludes our September feature, and make sure to stay tuned in for our next episode. Once again, I'm your host, Shibi Srivastava. Thanks for tuning in.